And, you know, I've always had strict enforcement of those guidelines, and I think that's one of the reasons why I've never had a single case of COVID traced back.
This is Ken Stringfellow of the Posies, Big Star, etc., and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Saturday, May 1st, tune in the 8th annual Reveille broadcast on WGXC. It's 25 hours following the sunrise around the earth and listening to the dawn chorus at places throughout the world. The broadcast starts at midnight Eastern time, starting in London, heading across the Atlantic and picking up sounds from Wave Farm in the 5 a.m. hour. Then you hear daybreak across the United States, across the Pacific Ocean, into Asia, Africa, Europe, and back in London at midnight. Tune in all day, May 1st, from midnight to midnight, to Reveille on the radio at wgxc.org and go to soundtent.org for more information about this broadcast.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465. For more information, Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Blanche Mackey Photography of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, everyone, to Race Talks with Kimberly Y. Irwin. Today, I have a guest who is well-versed in music, and he's a Hudsonian, and we are going to enjoy our talk today because we did have a great plan of music and poetry to celebrate National Poetry Month in America today. But we also got a verdict of the George Floyd Chauvin case. And we definitely want to make that a prime conversation topic tonight too. So I'm going to just change up things a little bit and get right into acknowledging my guest for this evening, Monray Francois. And because he is a man of many talents, I'm going to ask for him to give you more of who he is and what he would like to share with you about himself and his role in music and poetry. Monray?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us on Race.
You're welcome.
I should also mention that you are joining via cell phone, so I want to make that clear. Hopefully, we won't get any turbulence with your phone.
Yeah, it's just a little delay. It's like, I can see you and hear you. I'm like watching a Chinese movie here.
So,
is everything okay? There you go.
I just wanted you to share with the audience your bio, your background, why you are here as a guest on Race Talks tonight.
Okay. Well, I'm here as a guest on Race Talk because you invited me. But as far as my background, I have a musical background, dance, singing, and also a licensed hairstylist, jack of many trades, also a cardio instructor. I have a workout program called Muscle Confusion, which is a full body workout. And I heard you say I was a Hudsonian. I'm not a Hudsonian, but I live here in the area and I work at the elementary school with children during the week. My band, Upper Level, we're like stagnant right now because of COVID. We haven't had any live performances, but it's an R&B jazz band. About seven musicians, myself, and another lead vocalist. And we're available for hire when the world opens back up. And trying to think what else. I was sidetracked because I'm watching CNN at the same time.
Okay, so I was wondering what that background noise was. Is there a way we can take that away? Because I was hearing that, and I was thinking that that must come from another entity here. So I was trying to.
Excellent. I'm in a different room now, so I don't know what you're hearing because my TV's on mute. I just have the caption where I can read.
Okay, well, I do hear.
I hear that too, but it's.
It's not coming from you.
I don't know. Okay. Close my door because there is a TV on in the other room.
Okay, so I thought you would be traveling, so you're in one place right
now. No, I'm here. I'm home. My appointment, I rescheduled it because I didn't want to be driving around and trying to do this at the same time. No, I'm here in Claverick. I'm here.
Okay, well, great. So you did mention that you are listening to the George Floyd trial in relation to what just happened on the news. But I don't want to start with that because I do want to make sure we talk a little bit about your interests, which was music. And you sent me three musical pieces that I hope we get to, at least two of them tonight, because again, I think it's important to definitely share some of the share some information on the topic of George Floyd. And obviously, when you think of terms and what we can talk about, police brutality, and certainly there are poems that address that issue that we would like to converse with each other about. So I would like to start the show now recognizing one of Hudson's poets who posthumously published a book, The Black Bard, Book of Moses. And that was a man who's very dear to my heart, and his name is America's Moses Cash III. And one of the poems that I think was integral to understanding a black man's reality in America with regard to the state of affairs that we find ourselves in right now, again, according to what's on the news and the trial, is one of his poems that I actually like the most. And the title, I think, and I want to ask you about this too, Munray. The title is very interesting. I'm going to read the title after the fact because I think it was interesting for us to be able to retitle it somewhat and to really discuss what we might have entitled it. So the poem reads like this. My body is on the ground. I feel the pavement on top of me. I feel the pavement or the street being moved around. The officer's foot is penetrating my body. July 18, 1999. I thought, isn't that some kind of holiday? I did that night on Lark Street. 10 police cars and many white officers beaten my brains out. A life nothing to them. Since it was a black man, they were killing. So the theme obviously is being black with police brutality and somewhat being in the right place at the wrong time. It's like being black at night is not a good opportunity. Right. And I like the date of it being July 18, 1999, because we see that it really doesn't matter what date it is in America, because things like this are still occurring and we don't really have to explain it to anybody who wasn't even born in 1999, because
they're seeing it right now.
And I was looking at some of the discussion points after the trial was finished and the verdicts came in. And one person mentioned how her children are black men and she was feeling more comfortable with them being in Africa currently than right now. Yeah. I think that was Sunny Hostin, actually.
Yeah, the co-host from The View was explaining that she feels safer with her 25-year-old child being in Africa versus his home because of what's going on.
Yeah, I think she also mentioned where she was when Rodney King was beaten by men, videotaped, which was like the first. Go ahead.
Yeah, law school. She was in her classroom and said, you know, she saw that with her own eyes and thought maybe the jury would bring back something else, yet all those officers were acquitted. So she was kind of nervous with today, with them taking 10 and a half hours. She knows, as her years being an attorney, what that usually means. If they don't have any questions, you know, it's usually a guilty, but she couldn't be certain because you just don't know.
Right.
It's like your eyes, you can see something, but the jury, you never know what they're thinking.
Exactly.
But they got it right this time. So.
Well, I was reading some comments on YouTube that people were writing in, and there seemed to be a few people who were not quite certain that the verdict the verdict is guilty, but what will the sentence be?
Right.
Because sometimes there is a guilty verdict and then the person does very little time.
Yeah, like 10 years.
So this is, you know, it doesn't end here. So I think we have another 8 weeks to wait. But right now, I'd like to, before we forget, a little bit of the wording of the poem, what would be a title? I know that one of the songs we're going to listen to that you sent in was Stevie Wonder's Black Man.
Right.
So I wonder if Black Man could be a really good title for this one. What were your thoughts on titling?
Yeah, I agree with Black Man, but I also agree with another one I sent in, Everything Must Change. Did I send you that by Aaliyah Adams?
Yep. Oh, you know what? Yeah. I think I thought of it was Nina Simone. It was Aaliyah Adams.
Yeah, it's Aaliyah Adams. Yeah. Yeah, that's who it is. The version I sent you is Aaliyah Adams.
Okay. Well, the title is called Ego, this poem. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Ego.
Very. Ego.
Now, think about Chauvin. What was one of the things that people were saying when he was kneeling? He had what? So his ego was being betrayed. Like he couldn't ego. Do right because of his ego wouldn't allow him to let George win, so to speak.
His ego, his pride, all of that.
So I thought, wow, this is so right now today, the title of this poem. And he actually, Moses has two other poems that I might want to get to. One is actually after the one of the musical interludes, because one of them actually is called Black Men. So it's exactly the same title of Stevie Wonder's.
The song.
Yeah. So shall we, you want to introduce Stevie Wonder's? I'm going to have Everything Must Change a little bit later. Because I want to, you know, build up to some positivity. So let's start with Stevie Wonder's Black Man, because it really is an in-depth lyrical prose that really defines race.
Right.
Because he talks about Black.
I'm curious to how you, didn't mean to interrupt you, how you edited that down, because it's such a lengthy tune, you know. This song was done back in the mid 70s when you could buy an album or a record, as you say, and there was like only two or three songs on the side because it was so long. This is from his classic album, Songs in the Key of Life. Everybody, white, black, Asian, everybody should know this album, because, you know, Stevie Wonder's international. It's like his best known album, Songs in the Key of Life. And there's just, it amazes me that all the things that he sang about on that album is going on still today. It's like every emotion the human body can feel, he touches on that album. It's just, it's like therapy. Sometimes, like when I'm just like over it, like the news and all that stuff, I will play that. Between that one and What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. And then it's like I feel better, but then I'm like, it's craziness. All these years later, it's like a cycle, the same, nothing's changed. It's just like, what is it?
Well,
so, yeah.
I know that that's the kind of, you know, feelings that one would get when listening to music that, you know, pulls at the heartstrings, and you feel, you know where you were when you first heard it, so to speak, because you know how you feel about it. So it's
right.
Really positive. I actually didn't chop it down. So what I thought I would do is play the music and start it off, and then sometimes I can fast forward it and pause, and, you know, as we listen to the words, I'm hoping that it works.
And give you.
You know, I'm not the tech guru.
But I was getting ready to say, though, there's a part of the song where it sounds like a classroom where these questions and the kids are answering, that I would say maybe like after two or three kids, you know, answer, maybe you would want to pause it then, or fade it out, or I don't know how it works.
Well, that's it right now.
Oh, I think you did it. I hear music, yes.
Okay. So that's in the beginning. Where should we get it?
Well, no, let it start. Okay. Let it start. Let the song start, yeah.
So then just let me know when I should make it louder.
Make it louder, you said?
Thank you. Are definitely getting lots of the terms that define race in America. Definitely choosing labeling people by color, which was all the rage back in the day, right? People were black, brown, red, yellow. And I like what he said about repeat, like things are repeating. So he's really descriptive.
Very.
On what each group was seen as doing or providing to America as a nation.
Right.
Although one would say,
and that's what's going to happen at the end, the part that we're not listening to, because I had you message you to stop it because it was just a musical part, but at the end it's like they're in a classroom and they're saying things like, who, like for instance, who invented the peanut or something like that, and they would say the person's name and then say if they were a black man or an Indian or whatever. That's what's happening at the end of the song.
Well, maybe so it's just there, you know, you could probably get there. But why do you think he entitled this Black Man? Because he does mention the people of different ethnic groups, you know, Red Man being that of Native American. And now we use the term First Nation. Are you familiar with these other terminologies?
Well, no, not really.
I know, I was going to say, though we're in education, though we're, you know, educators, unless you're really involved on a daily basis with these types of terms, you don't know. You know, you don't know.
Right.
I don't know. People don't like the term woke, but it's kind of an easy way to say that you're not with it, with, you know, the lingo of the, you know, words that we're using when we want to talk about or talk to other people about race and ethnicity who are fluent in the terminology and actually maybe even creating the terminology, like the word the term intersectionality, which was just recently coined. So I think that's very interesting. But you were going to say?
This was in response to you asking why did I think it was called Black Man? Mm-hmm. Maybe because he's a Black man and he's singing about things that Black men created or invented, because I think back then it wasn't known like it is now. I don't know. I just think, I think maybe it was his way of educating the listener, his fans, you know. Stevie Wonder always had that way of bringing the message where you truly had to listen to his lyrics to understand what was going on. He's just one of those artists. But I think that might be why it's called Black Man, because, you know, years ago, there was some stuff I learned in that song that I didn't know, you know. What, and not just with the Black man, with all the other races.
Right, you mentioned Columbus and the yellow man and the brown man. I think I found a part that had the children, and let's see if I can cue that up.
Okay, that's it.
That's it? Okay.
That's it.
I want to try to rewind a little bit.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we could do that on a live show.
Okay. I think I did go back enough. Let's see. Who is the leader of the
I
loved actually having a Black woman mentioned, Harriet Tubman.
So you were saying,
Stevie Wonder, he really brought in all groups. You know, he had them screaming out the name White Man for, you know, what White Man brought to America. So I like the idea that you mentioned with him saying Black Man, entitling it Black Man. I think it's because from his perspective, right? He's the Black man.
Yeah. Right. Because that whole, that part right there with the questions being yelled out with the children answering, I'm looking, I have the lyric sheet in front of me, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, about nine, of them were Black men. And then he, you know, mentioned Squanto, who was a red man, and Sinki, a yellow man, when he asked who was the soldier of Company G who won high honors for his courage and heroism in World War I. Sinki, a yellow man, was the answer. Who was the founder of Blood Plasma and the director of the Red Cross Blood Bank? Dr. Charles Drew, a Black man.
Black man.
That was one I didn't know way back then.
Well, yes, and then you would think that would be the one thing that they would have taught us. But it seems like a lot of what some people have said is today they want to bring the conversation back to the enslaved people. That we
don't get me started,
but
I
don't have to go
in school,
right? But we can
Black history curriculum, yeah, right.
And right now, you're in the school system, and I don't want to put you on the spot or the school system.
You can put me on the spot, because I've complained about it. There is more to Black History Month than Martin Luther King,
yes.
I remember asking a teacher about that. Oh, well, we did Martin Luther King. Oh, excuse me, that was January. We're now in Black History Month. Hello? That's the only person you know? So, yeah, it's irritating.
Well, it's great.
I find it irritating because of a community, when you're in a school where most of the population are ethnic kids, you would think that would be something that would be talked about. But when you don't have staff that look like them children, I guess it's kind of hard. You can't teach what you're not taught or what you don't know or familiarize yourself with. But, you know, we can do our St. Patrick's Day and all them other things. Just saying, as they say.
Well, and there's a growing chorus, so you're not alone in just saying, and I think that's what part of Black Lives Matter is, not just social justice and equity when it comes to policing and mass incarceration, but also within institutions that are systemic for injustice or inequities, like in educational system primarily also. So I want to get back to the poetry and introduce the next song, which is Everything Must Change. And I think I want to lead in with another poem. I know you're going to get into that. I want to lead in with another poem so that we can underscore the Black man.
Okay.
This is the poem by, again, America's Moses Cash III. And this is entitled Black Man, so it's not ego, it's Black Man.
Oh, wow.
It goes, I know, go figure. We could talk about why you chose that title.
But it's so funny though, because you never sent me the poems, but yet the songs I sent you seem to coincide with your poems.
Yeah, well, this collection was born of 300 poems. And so within this collection is about 100 poems, and I wanted to make sure that we took poems that showed his life history. So, as a man, as a Black man, as a father, as a brother, as a son, in all fashions. In fact, there's a story in here where he is dating a white woman. So, it takes you through everything, police brutality and love of God and, you know, love of certain movie stars. So, it's a life of a person. So when we just talk about Black men today, I'm reading it because of the songs you shared. So I wanted to incorporate them together. Okay, this goes. I am a Black African American. I am a Black man. Remember that. I am a Black man. I can start with nothing and make something of myself like those Blacks before me. I am powerful. I am a Black giant in this world. I am a Black man. And you better believe that I'm going to strive forever to be better. than any other man on the planet. So for me, this is talking about change, right? It's from enslavement to advocacy for oneself, to not listening or hearing those voices outside and maybe even inside of oneself that wants to keep you at a level of being that isn't what we think of as being first class, you know? So what are your thoughts as a Black man? See, I'm not a Black man, but those are my thoughts as a reader. How would that
add? I take the fifth on that.
How would that add to everything must change? Or you can tell me just some parts of everything must change that is alluding to bettering oneself.
Lyrically, with everything must change. She's basically saying there's certain things in life you can be sure of, like rain from the sky and all that, but there's like these things that are political, like with the police brutality and all that. It's just they've been begging for change for years, for decades. And I'm gonna say our people have done these kinds of songs forever that's like encouraging us to take the high road and be strong and all that. But it's like you've been saying things are gonna change, but when are they going to change? And I think that's why, I know you said we're gonna talk about that later. I think that's why this, the verdict, just the fact that all three counts were guilty, I think that's gonna maybe open some people's eyes to like, okay, maybe there is a change, and the sentencing will just be the icing on the cake if it goes the way everyone hopes. I don't know.
Well, when I said we would talk about something. Later, I meant later as in now. Leaving it into the discussion. I'm not trying to force the conversation, talk any one way. I think to be honest about how we're feeling and thoughtful about our about what we see and what we know as our truth is the most important thing to share on air.
Yeah.
Our values in particular. And you're good at that. So I'm going to start playing this. I know this is another pretty long song, it's about 6 minutes. So you can tell me where.
Really? I didn't know it was that long. I thought I tried to send you the shorter version of that particular song. Is it 6 minutes?
6 minutes and 53 seconds.
Shut up. Must be that doggone piano intro. Oh, that's what it is. Well, she's a musician, so you know there's the piano interlude thing happening. And well, I know,
we can see it's 7:39.
How much time we have?
Well, let's start it.
Okay. Yeah, start it.
Because
and you'll know when it happens. You'll know when that music part is about to happen. Your cue word will be, I think the word is accept, and then the music starts. It goes on for like 2 or 3 minutes, okay, and then she comes back in with the bridge, but it's okay to fade out at that part.
Okay, well, let's listen to some of the lyrics and we'll talk about what,
yeah,
how that pertains to today and maybe even the verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. No one's. mysteries to unfold. Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one doesn't change. Too soon, yes, everything will change. The young become the old, and mysteries do that's the way of time. Nothing and no one does change. There are not many things in life you can be sure.
This is a great interlude. I'm gonna put it down a little bit as we can talk.
It is.
Okay.
Right.
I like the groove behind, actually. Mm-hmm. Puts you in a really good frame of reference, and a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this is that type of music one needs when having to deal with issues of grand importance like this verdict. I remember when I first saw people, you know, like break down, it physically affected me. And I'm not in Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. Although I tried to follow the trial, mm-hmm. I didn't see every, you know, minute of it. I would see much of the highlights. Especially because I tape my shows, and I only got to see the ones that while, you know, the taping was going on, but it was very interesting. Should we listen to any of the other lyrics, or is it pretty much?
What's going on now? She's repeating what she's saying earlier, because she's about to end the song now. You know, she's just saying what she said already. But yeah, turn it up. Let them hear.
Yeah.
See, that line right there gets me, because a Black man into music that's always listens to lyrics, I have that emotion a lot of times listening to certain songs like that. That's why I refused to send you the Strange Fruit song, because at that time when we were talking about that and I said that I knew nothing about this verdict, and I think if you had played that song with all this nonsense going on right now, I probably would have been a basket case, because the lyrics, it's just hard to listen to that song and take all that in and not have some kind of emotion.
Also, her eloquent, lilting voice at the end.
Yeah.
I was envisioning right there was a movie. You know, you can see this part of a film where someone is running in the rain, screaming and yelling, but you can't hear the screaming and the yelling. You just hear this song, you know, but you know the person
right. Is
in pain. It is right. Powerful. But as a musician.
And you know, that same emotion though, it doesn't even have to be pain, because I mean, you could be like, take today, you could be running and screaming about what happened, and it could be a joyous thing, but at the same time, it's just like you think about the folks that didn't get that justice. Like that, who was the young boy, Trayvon Martin, with the Arizona tea, and the little kid in the park with the toy, and the guy thought it was a gun.
Oh, yes.
That was in Chicago somewhere. Yeah. What was he, like 8 years old or something? You know, it's just like, yeah.
Well, I mean, so, and then some that aren't,
I don't know,
then, dire, because, you know, young little Black girls too, who you know, I recall the photos of her in classroom with the police officer putting her in handcuffs. Just even that made me.
Oh, sick. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, what is it about?
That was ridiculous.
You know, being Black and a little girl and what? Talking back. and that's an issue for today too. It's like, especially in this area, we have youth who we have to try to find different locations for them outside of the school system, because in school they're not seen as behaving properly and therefore must, you know, leave the school to never return. But then how do they get their education? So I know when I was growing up here in the 80s, some of the women were forming organizations to place these young people in, because obviously if they don't graduate, how can they be successful with their lives? And in a sense, this story hints at that, right? That, you know, we have to change the way we see each other, one another, and make inroads into forwarding a path for success, and we can't do it alone.
And you know, I see all different types of children in that school. They all can be doing the same thing, but it's really bad when it's an ethnic child. But you know, Becky Ann and Karen can do the same thing, and you know, they're talked to and they can go back to class. The parent isn't being called to come pick the kid up.
And I liken it to just
your. It's not as threatening.
Right. It's the comfort level. And if you don't know, you won't feel good. And that's why I think when the policing, neighborhood policing is important. But returning to the George Floyd case, it was almost that because the police officers knew George Floyd, they treated him worse. So it's right. not always even good that, you know, the people in the area know you, because they don't, they may not have mm-hmm. known you from when you were this innocent little kid. You know, they see you only as the last right. problem you presented to society, as if, you know, you can't be right. redeemed. Oh my goodness, I just used a word. That leads us into our last yes. song, Redeem, the redemption song.
Redemption, honey, redemption. That's
and
right.
Before we go into this.
I was just going to tell you, we have 9 minutes.
I was going to say that. We have, you know, before we go into it, we have 9 minutes. So I want to leave a good 4 minutes for this song, because I had never, see, you said one of the songs taught you something. This song taught me something.
Right.
Because I have never heard of this version. And my mother had, wow. I mean, I grew up with the song in C minor, the actual album cover. And we had a conversation about
right.
the album. So don't school me on
right
now. But can you share what the actual cover looks like? What it was it like, orange or?
Yeah, it was almost like that sunburnt orange, like yeah. the sunset where it has the orange and the red. Yeah.
And
now this particular version that I sent you by Stevie, a lot of people tell me they don't know it by him.
Ah.
But that's, yeah. I love it by him because I understand the words so clearly, you know, and I feel everything he's saying to you, because he sings it with so much emotion. It's just, ugh.
Well,
and then there's a reggae version by Bob Marley that I know of, too.
That's the one I know, and I think I've even played that one. But for me, yeah. listening to what you just sent, yeah. it to me is totally different. I get a totally different vibe when listening to this version. It's almost like it's a different song.
Really?
And not different in better or worse, but different, so that I can get the same message, but I can feel differently when hearing it,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, quite okay. remarkable. I really haven't ever experienced that before. I think it could be the time, you know, because the music, the actual instrumentals are different, right? So that could breed a different experience.
Right.
But you are in a band, and so... I mean, I play the flute. I don't know if that qualifies for being a bona fide musician, lover of music, because I was thinking, you told me—
You're a flautist.
You're actually, a
flautist.
Yeah. It's pronounced flautist.
Okay, flautist. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you—
I can spell it.
I was first chair, too, in high school. I can throw that out there. But I had this raggedy flute. But you know, I want to add something to that. I felt uncomfortable being the only Black little girl in the band playing a flute. Mm-hmm. And then my flute, because we weren't exactly able to afford the best one, you know, the new one and shiny one, was a hand-me-down from our music teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would feel a little bit strange by that, but I was actually thankful because I had a flute. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to play. And I had that same flute from
right.
grade school to high school. And I even kept it mm-hmm. throughout my 20s. And when I was living in New York City, there was like give to, you know, your broken musical instruments to another people, you know, group of people. And I gave that away to them, but I felt like I lost a friend. So I think it was important that I didn't care that it wasn't the nicest, newest, brightest. And I also like the fact that all the little white little girls, because they were only girls who played the flute, they didn't make me feel uncomfortable. So, you know, race mm-hmm. and identity throughout race doesn't have to be negative, right? People deemed by others. They saw value and they didn't want me to feel bad. And I didn't. And so I was able to, you know, claim first chair.
You're right.
Okay, so let's talk about the music, redemption, and how we can find redemption through the ending of this trial. What would make you feel redeemed, if anything, the outcome of this sorted trial.
It's the sentencing. I got 8 weeks to figure that out. That's when I will be like, okay. But until then, it's just like, because of that fear, okay, yeah, they were found guilty on all three charges and they get a slap on the wrist as far as a sentencing. That would be like a kick in the face, I think.
Well, they said that the max would be 40 and that 10 to 15 would be normal. But the fact that there was a young 9-year-old there, they said it can be an aggravated.
That's what it's going to rest on. It's going to rest on her.
That might add 5 to 10 more. And I think when you think of a loss of life, a father in front of others, when being implored to stop while being filmed, while even professionals who, you know, got there on the scene had to tell him to like, take your knee off the body. Because it wasn't a man anymore. Right then they knew it was a body.
A corpse.
But he didn't know that. Oh, I want to ask you one thing before going, and we only have 3 minutes. I want to hurry up. He didn't seem to care that he was found guilty. No. What are your thoughts on his facial expression?
No, he didn't. Really he had no emotion. Okay. No emotion. There was no emotion. None. But I mean, he didn't even have emotion when he was like, I want to invoke the Fifth. He didn't want to go and defend himself. He didn't want to talk. Understand.
But he also
did not want the prosecution to question.
Too much emotion when his knee was on, he's choking the life.
Nope, same thing.
So I wonder if, I'm going to leave it at that. We're going to have to throw it to Stevie.
That's right.
Throw it to Stevie. So I'm going to just end with
him. I'll come back in 8 weeks. I'll come back in 8 weeks when the verdict is.
Let's do that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to leave it with Stevie and enjoy it the way I did. So thank you, Mr. Francois, and we're colleagues. I'll see you next week, probably.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, listeners, enjoy Stevie Wonder's version of the Redemption
Song. Redemption Song.
Take it away, Steve.
That's not it.
That's not it. Okay. Okay, now, take it away, Stevie.
Minutes after that.